Good morning. I'm glad you're here. Please pray with me. Oh, Holy Father, we bow before you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray by your grace this day that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we pray that you would give us ears to hear what you would have us to hear this day. Father, we pray that you would give us hearts strong to encourage one another as we walk this path together. And Father, we pray that your Son might be greatly honored here this day. For we ask you this in his name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please open your Bibles to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 17. Jeremiah, chapter 17. Please stand for the reading of Holy Scripture. The Bible says, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou, even thyself, shall discontinue from thy heritage that I gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in a land which thou knowest not, for you have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of Holy Scripture, and you may be seated. Look back there to verse 13 and let's see, why is it that these people will be put to shame and consigned to death, written in the earth? Well, the Bible says there, "O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. They that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters." Why in the world would one forsake the Lord, the fountain of living waters? Why? Well, turn back a few chapters to Jeremiah chapter 2. We're going to read some scripture this morning. Jeremiah chapter 2. Look there, the Bible says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying that, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear you the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, What iniquities have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priest said not, Where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that did not profit. Wherefore I will plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Well, do you remember? We were asking ourselves the question, why would one forsake a fountain of living water? And we can see the answer right here in verse 13. A person only forsakes one water supply when another has been secured. And we see here in verse 13, people forsaking the fountain because they prepared another water supply, a cistern, a cistern. Scientists tell us that when human babies are born, their bodies are 75 to 80% water. Human babies, when they're born, scientists will tell us, are 75 to 80% water. As we grow and mature, that percentage declines, but still, the average mature human body composition is about 50 to 60% water. And friend, let me remind you of something that I'm sure you know. You cannot live without water for very long. You cannot live without water for very long. Now listen, if you don't eat food for a while, your body will tap into its energy reserves, its fat. And if you have significant reserves, you could live quite a long time without eating. But listen, if you don't have water, you won't last long. You won't last long. In ideal conditions, scientists say some people could survive a week without water. But if it were hot or cold, they might not even survive 3 full days. Please hear me. Without water, you will die. Now, I want you to take away some ideas from our readings here in the prophecy of Jeremiah. from Jeremiah 17:13. Why are the people put to shame and consigned to death? Well, it's because they left the fountain. They left the fountain. They abandoned their water supply. And when we were reading that, you did understand that that was figurative, didn't you? I know you did. Because speaking through his prophet, Almighty God said there, "I am the water. The Lord is the fountain of living waters." The text said, "All that forsake thee shall be ashamed. They shall depart. They that depart from me shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters." And I want you to remember this idea from Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. Why would someone abandon their water supply when everyone with any age, in any sense, understands that you can't survive without water? You see, unless someone is suicidal, the only reason they would leave behind their water supply is because they believe they have another one. And that's what we saw in Jeremiah 2:13. Jehovah, Almighty God, speaks through his prophet and he says, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Did you see? Did you see? They abandon the fountain because they believe they have another water supply, a cistern. But what they don't understand is that the cistern is cracked. It's broken. It won't hold water. And they'll perish. They will die from thirst. And did you see this in that text as well? The fountain, the true fountain, is defined for us. The fountain of living waters, Almighty God says, "It's me! It's me!" He says, "They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters." Some of you know I like rhymes. And many years ago, Brother Howell taught me, and many of you, a little rhyme about the relationship between the Old and New Covenant Scriptures. And it goes like this. The new is in the old, concealed. The old is in the new, revealed. The new is in the old, concealed. The old is in the new, revealed. Eric, that's what the evangelists are showing us in the gospel when they say, "And this was done that the scripture might be fulfilled, da da da. And this was accomplished so that the prophecy of the old prophet would be fulfilled." And remember, saints, Eric reminded us of this recently as well. When a New Testament writer refers to Scripture, he's talking about the Old Testament. You understand? When they were writing the Gospels, they didn't have the Gospels yet. We think about this as being Holy Scripture, but they had the Old Testament. So when a New Testament writer is talking about Scripture, he's talking about the Old Covenant Scriptures. Now, please turn to the fourth Gospel. Chapter 4, the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 4. And please follow along with me. The Bible says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith to her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Now, beloved, think with me for a minute. Why did this Samaritan woman come to Jacob's well to get water? Now, I know we don't normally sit around and think of things as matters of life and death, but listen. She came to get water because she knew she would die without it. And Jacob's well was her water supply. She lived near there. And when she came to the well, getting water was what was on her mind. Right? She came to the well, and what was on her mind? "Well, I got to go get some water." That's what was on her mind. And as he often did, the master teacher used the elements at hand to teach a lesson much greater and deeper than the elements at hand normally taught. And beloved, listen, when Jesus spoke of water, the Samaritan woman thought he was talking about the water right there in Jacob's well. But he wasn't. He wasn't. She thought he was talking about the water there in Jacob's well. But he was talking about the water from Jeremiah's prophecy. You see, she thought he was talking about the water right there in Jacob's well. But he was talking about the water from Jeremiah's prophecy. He was talking about that fountain of living water from Jeremiah 2:13 and Jeremiah 17:13. He was talking about himself and his Holy Spirit, and he was equating himself and his spirit with Yahweh, with Jehovah, with Almighty God, that said in the days of Jeremiah, "I am the fountain of living water." Well, Edward, maybe you're taking this too far. Am I? Am I taking it too far? Am I claiming to know more than we can really know? Well, if you believe in apostolic authority, I'm not. Flip forward just a few chapters to John 7. John 7. And look down there to verse 37. "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.'" In my Bible, the next verse is in parenthesis. And the beloved John, with apostolic authority, shares his inspired commentary on these words of the Savior. And in verse 39, he writes, "But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Now, saints, listen, I hope that you see that for us, we who believe, this is not only a God claim of Jesus, it's support for the doctrine of the Holy Trinity as well. In Jeremiah's prophecy, God the Father clearly proclaims that He Himself is the fountain of living water. And here in John chapter 7, the inspired apostle tells us that God the Son is here speaking of God the Holy Spirit, whom God the Son will send at Pentecost to comfort, keep, and teach His people. In Romans chapter 8, verses 8 and 9, the great apostle Paul writes, "They that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." You're very familiar with that text. I've preached to you about it before. But did you hear? Did you hear in that verse, in verse 9, the great apostle Paul equates the pneuma thea and the pneuma Christou. He equates the Spirit of God, the pneuma thea, and the Spirit of Christ, the pneuma Christos. In Paul's theology, these are one and the same. Do you see? They're the same. The Holy Spirit can be called the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of Christ, or the Spirit of Jesus, or the Holy Ghost, but He's still the third person of the Holy Trinity. And remember, our God is one in three persons. And you need to understand, this is not some Pauline nuance. It's apostolic doctrine. It's not just Paul. The Apostle Peter refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Christ in his first epistle, 1 Peter 1:11. So friend, listen. If you had been at Jacob's well that day, would you have understood that Jesus was speaking of water greater than the water of Jacob's well? Would you have understood that Jesus is the giver, the source, the wellspring, the fountain of living water? The new is in the old, concealed. The old is in the new, revealed. Now, why would someone leave a fountain of living water? Well, because he's constructed a cistern, an artificial fountain, and he thinks it will hold water. But it won't. It won't. Well, listen, on the authority of Almighty God, I tell you, all our cisterns are broken. All our artifices, all our artificial fountains, all our man-made reservoirs, all our manufactured water supplies, they're all cracked and broken and leaky. And though they might look like they'll hold water, they will all fail. And if we depend on them, listen, if we depend on them, we will perish. And if we depend on them, we'll be brought to shame. Jeremiah 17:13. Only the living water will suffice. Only the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Only the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Only His Spirit, His Holy Spirit. Only Jesus, only Jesus, only Jesus will suffice. Listen, friends. There is no other water that lives, that is everlasting, that will sustain your life, though you die. The great Clive Staples Lewis echoed this truth in his Chronicles of Narnia. In one of my favorite books, The Silver Chair. When Jill comes face to face with Aslan. "Are you thirsty?" said the lion. "I'm dying of thirst," said Jill. "Then drink," said the lion. "May I, could I, would you mind going away while I do?" said Jill. The lion answered this only by a look and a very low growl. And as Jill gazed at its motionless bulk, she realized she might as well have asked the whole mountain to move aside for her convenience. The delicious, rippling noise of the stream was driving her nearly frantic. "Will you promise not to do anything to me if I do come?" said Jill. "I make no promise," said the lion. Jill was so thirsty now that without noticing it, she had come a step nearer. "Do you eat girls?" she said. "I have swallowed up girls and boys, women and men, kings and emperors, cities and realms," said the lion. It didn't say this as if it were boasting, nor as if it were sorry, nor as if it were angry. It just said it. "I daren't come and drink," said Jill. "Then you will die of thirst," said the lion. "Oh dear," said Jill, coming another step nearer. "I suppose I must go and look for another stream then." "There is no other stream," said the lion. There is no other stream. Now, I want to speak to two groups of people that may be here this morning. I want to speak to those of you that have not come to the fountain, and to those of you who might be considering a cistern construction project. First, to those of you who have never come to the fountain, to Jesus, the dayspring, the source of life, the giver of living water. Listen, listen. You are dying. You are dying of thirst, and you don't even know it. But as you get older, the world's distractions that are making you forget your thirst, they'll lose some of their charm. I've told you already that your body is over half water. And from a physical perspective, let me tell you what will happen if you don't have water. From a physical perspective. I want you to listen. It's not pretty. If you don't have water, your mouth will dry out and become caked or coated with a thick material. Your lips will become parched and cracked. Your tongue will swell. It might crack as well. Your eyes will recede back into your head, into their sockets. Your cheeks will become hollow and gaunt. You'll look like a dead man walking. The lining in your nose may crack and bleed, and your skin will hang loose on your body and it will become dry and scaly if you don't have water. The lining of your stomach will dry out, and you may experience vomiting or heaving. Your temperature will become elevated, and your brain cells will dry out, causing convulsions. Your respiratory tract will dry out, and the resulting thick secretions may plug your lungs and cause death. And at some point, probably under a week, but maybe a little longer, your major organs, your heart, your lungs, your brain, they'll fail. And you will die. Now, parents, I'm sorry if you thought that was morbid. I want you to know I left out some other things that would really gross you out. Friend, without water, you will die. You will die. And I didn't come up with that water metaphor. It's not mine. It's God's. It's God's. And let me tell you something else. You are a physical being. I know you are. I physically see you sitting right there in front of me. But you are also a spiritual being. You are. I'm not going to try to convince you of that this morning, maybe another time, but you are. Now, you are your body, but you are more than that. And you know it. You know it. So let me tell you this gospel truth. Please listen. Without the living water that Jesus gives, you will die. You will die. You will die. Everlasting life is not a normal property for fallen man. Death is. Everlasting life is the gift of God. And the only source of the living water that brings everlasting life is Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And listen, what Jesus said on that great feast day, he says now, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Revelation 22:17. Now listen, I know it's a good thing for preachers to be clear. So let me be crystal clear in what I'm trying to communicate to you this morning. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, is the only Savior. He has the living water that will save your life forever. And He is the only one who has it. And if you will have it, you will only have it on His terms. You must give Him your trust, your love, your life. And listen, if you don't get what He is offering, you will die forever. Forever. If Jill will not drink from Aslan's stream, she will die of thirst. And if you will not take the living water that Jesus offers, you'll die. And listen, why, oh why, would you die? You know where the water is. Why, oh why, would you go thirsty? Now, a brief word for those of you who may be considering a cistern construction project. Let me assure you of this truth. For fallen humanity, God is only accessible through His Son. Jesus said, "No man cometh to the Father but by me." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus of Nazareth, God's own Son, is the fountain of life. And all other cisterns are cracked, broken, and leaky. None of them will hold water. None of them will preserve life. And listen, listen. If you forsake the fountain, you will be put to shame. If you forsake the fountain, you will die. You will perish. Beloved, listen. We know truth that many do not. Jesus alone is the source of life. He is the giver of living water. All the little g gods of this world are devils, demons, servants of Satan. And all the sparklies that tempt us will ultimately disappoint. The only way to worship the one true God is through His Son, Jesus of Nazareth. So friend, listen, if you're considering a cistern construction project, I urge you to abandon it. Almighty God Himself has condemned the project. He has ordained that all such projects will fail. Man-made cisterns always leak. So listen, such a project is a fool's errand. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Stay by the fountain. Stay by the fountain. Abide in the vine. Remain planted in the house of the Lord. He will sustain you. And when you die, He will raise you to life everlasting. High in the heavens, eternal God, Thy goodness in full glory shines. Thy truth shall break through every cloud that veils and darkens Thy designs. Forever firm Thy justice stands, as mountains their foundations keep. Wise are the wonders of Thy hands. Thy judgments are a mighty deep. Thy providence is kind and large. Both man and beast Thy bounty share. The whole creation is Thy charge, but saints are Thy peculiar care. My God, how excellent Thy grace, whence all our hope and comfort springs. The sons of Adam in distress fly to the shadow of Thy wings. From the provisions of Thy house we shall be fed with sweet repast. Their mercy like a river flows and brings salvation to our taste. Life like a fountain, rich and free, springs from the presence of the Lord. And in Thy light our souls shall see the glories promised in Thy word. Please stand with me for prayer. And let us pray. O Thou Most High, Creator of the ends of the earth, Governor of the universe, Judge of all men, Head of the church, Savior of sinners, Thy greatness is unsearchable, Thy goodness infinite, Thy compassions unfailing, Thy providences boundless, Thy mercies ever new. We bless Thee for the words of salvation. how important, suitable, encouraging are the doctrines, promises, and invitations of the gospel of peace. We are lost, but in it thou hast presented to us a full, free, eternal salvation. Weak, but here we learn that help is found in one that is mighty. Poor, but in him we discover unsearchable riches. Blind, but we find he has treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We thank thee for thy unspeakable gift. Thy Son is our only refuge, foundation, hope, confidence. We depend upon his death. We rest in his righteousness. We desire to bear his image. May his glory fill our minds, his love reign in our affections, his cross inflame us with ardor. Let us, as Christians, fill our various situations in life, escape the snares to which they expose us, discharge the duties that arise from our circumstances, enjoy with moderation their advantages, improve with diligence their usefulness, and may every place and company we are in be benefited by us. In Jesus' name, amen.